This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about corn tortillas.
Yep, I really thought you were about to say chili. I kind of forgot we were doing corn tortillas.
Yeah, Matthew made some chili for us to eat with the corn tortillas, and it's like 10:15 a.m., and I didn't quite have enough breakfast this morning. And oh my gosh, so chili, homemade chili and corn tortillas has never tasted better.
So, corn tortillas. I'm going to eat here for a second.
Yeah.
Memory lane. Let's go there and see what we find.
The tortillas of my youth were flour tortillas. And to be clear, we're talking about soft corn tortillas.
Yeah, because we did a crunchy hard taco episode.
Right. Episode. I think that I didn't really understand that there were corn tortillas until maybe I was a teenager or something, and I started noticing. I think that was the first time I had, like, non-Tex-Mex tacos. And I think probably most of the corn tortillas I have eaten were store-bought. Although, for quite a period of time at Essex, the bar that I co-own, we did a taco night on Tuesdays. And we had a lovely woman named Chyna, who was our tortilla lady and who would come in and make tortillas fresh at Essex. And we played around with using fresh masa and also using, like, dry masa.
Yep.
And wound up using dried masa because we actually like the flavor better. But anyway, we'll get into all this.
Okay.
But I feel like now I've had a pretty good variety of tortillas and I'm amazed at the subtle deliciousness of a really good corn tortilla.
Yeah, I mean, the ones I made are not very good because I have rarely ever done it, and so I don't have the tortilla muscles built up. But they're still not bad.
Oh my gosh. I mean, really, people who make tortillas all the time, it's incredible to watch
them. Oh yeah. The thing, I think, like, unlike a lot of foods, like, there's a very clear tell between like someone who doesn't know how to make tortillas and someone who does that.
Yes. And you don't.
And I don't, because they might have, like, raggedy edges. That's the tell. So I do not know how you get the smooth edges on your tortillas.
Well, we use a tortilla press.
Well, yeah, I didn't use a tortilla press. I rolled them out between wax. We haven't even gotten onto my memory lane yet.
I think too that, like, and we'll get to this in a minute, but from what I saw watching Chyna, it seems like it is such a, like, muscle memory thing. Like, she knew how much water to add to the dried masa, like, just by feel. She wasn't measuring things. And I think that, yeah, I mean, like so many aspects of cooking, this is difficult to quantify and is very much about feel.
Yep. So whereas I had, like, the measuring cups out and the kitchen scale.
Matthew is
the wax
is
paper,
a,
is the it, French rolling pin.
Oh my God, you had the French rolling pin.
Of
out.
Course, I always use the French rolling pin for literally everything. as you heard on our rolling pins episode, which is a real thing we did.
It is. It's a good one too.
Yeah, I think it was, right?
The velvet rolling pin was a concept that came out of that show.
How do you remember these things?
Because I listened to that episode a lot.
You listen to it a lot?
Well, no, I mean,
like, often you go back to it?
No, because there was a period of time when that episode came out when I told a couple people about it because I thought it was particularly funny. It is laced with innuendo. It's great.
Right. Oh, the velvet rolling pin is like a sex move. I get it.
I think so. I can't really remember.
Now it's all coming back to me. Mm-hmm. So my memory lane, I also did not have many soft corn tortillas as a kid. When I first remember encountering them regularly was at a Portland Mexican chain that no longer exists, but that I'm sure I've mentioned on the show before, called Machismo Mouse.
No, and I've not heard about this.
It was kind of an oddball, like, I'm sure not founded or owned by an actual person of Mexican descent, Portland, you know, early weird Portland chain. Mm-hmm. And it was quite tasty. And they had this sauce called boss sauce that was delicious. And to this day, I don't have the slightest idea what it was made of. It was like a brown, kind of sweet, tangy, umami laden sauce.
Wow. Portland was always doing things that were kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So so I would usually order some like, you know, street tacos with that were on a couple of each taco was on two corn tortillas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great.
Wow. Cool.
And then after that, like, you know, taco trucks became a thing sometime after that. And,
yes.
And that's where I ate many thousands of corn tortillas. Mm-hmm. And still do.
Mm-hmm. So you did some research about tortillas for this episode.
I did. It just takes us a little bit further down memory lane.
Okay.
To like, I was going to say the second millennium BC, but I don't know if that's correct. So the first, yeah, that's correct. Because like sometime before 1000 BC, mm-hmm. the Aztec and Mayan civilizations were making nixtamalized corn and making tortillas.
And so, okay. So what is nixtamalized corn? I love this word because it has the word tamal in it, which reminds me of tamales, and which means something else too, right?
Well, but those are definitely related.
Okay.
So nixtamalized corn is like corn for tamales.
Okay.
It is made by, first of all, it comes from Nahuatl, which was the Aztec language.
Okay.
And there are a number of other words in English that come from Nahuatl.
Really?
Including, yes, avocado, chili, okay, chocolate, coyote, peyote, and tomato.
Tomato?
Yeah, so basically all of the best things plus coyotes.
Wow, and I would argue that coyotes are one of the best things, too. Did you know that there's a family of coyotes in my neighborhood here in Seattle?
That sounds like a bad thing. That sounds like a thing you would want to get rid of.
Well, I don't have a cat, and so therefore I'm not very worried about this coyote.
But you have like kind of a wimpy dog.
Oh, poor Alice.
I mean no, that appreciatively.
Yes, she is kind of a wimpy dog, but she's wimpy in that she is submissive and she listens to her humans. And so if she started to chase after a coyote, she would stop if I
wasn't worried about her chasing after a coyote.
You were worried about a coyote getting her.
Right.
Well, I never leave her outside by herself.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't have an enclosed backyard.
Okay, great.
Anyway, but yeah, there's a family of coyotes.
Okay, what are their names? Who are the family members? Do they have like a sitcom?
No, they tend to walk up and down my street.
Just like sashaying, ambling?
Yes, the first time I saw them, I was washing dishes at my kitchen sink. I looked out the window and there was just this dog walking alone down the street. And I was like, huh. And I thought it was somebody's stray dog, and the more I looked at it, I was like, oh no, that is a wild dog.
That is scary.
That is a coyote.
That's the scariest thing a wild animal can do, is just kind of lope by, just, like, I don't give a fuck.
No, this wasn't even loping.
Yeah.
This was like strolling,
mm-hmm.
sauntering.
Yep.
Sauntering. Yep.
Just like, I don't care if you see
down
me.
Down a major
like,
street that has a bus route.
Right. Like, if
sauntering.
I had to, I could just bite your neck.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's me speaking. I'm not pretending to be the coyote.
Yeah, watch out. Watch out. Yeah, that's why I've stopped bringing Alice around to our tapings, because you're so dominant.
Yeah.
You just bite people's necks all the time, and
well,
she's so submissive.
I was raised by that coyote family, and I learned their ways.
Oh, that's right. So that's right. I forgot that Mowgli was coyote for Matthew.
Weirdly, I also forgot that, even though that was me. There are no jungle coyotes, are there? But let's say there were.
Yeah.
Okay. Nixtamalized corn is made by cooking corn kernels in lime water,
where would they have ever gotten this?
It's a naturally occurring deposit. So like they found some water that already had calcium hydroxide dissolved in it, and used that to cook the corn.
Would that just be like runoff from some sort of stone?
Yes, from some sort of stone.
Okay.
And limestone, maybe?
Okay.
And so then once they realized, okay, this makes our corn much better, then they figured out how to, you know, here's where you get the water for that. Here's how to make it from this, from these minerals.
So what does it,
so it does a bunch of things. I knew a little of this, but not much.
Okay.
So I knew the most important thing that it does is, it loosens the hull. Which is inedible and you need to remove anyway, so it makes it easier to do that. But the most important thing is it unlocks the niacin that is otherwise not available for metabolism.
So it's like the hipster sprouting different nuts and
things. It's like, yes, because hipsters invented that.
Yeah. No, but
no one ever sprouted a nut.
No, nobody has ever sprouted a nut
before it happened in Williamsburg one day.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so this like lye solution, you're taking corn kernels, just like ordinary corn, or was it a special
field corn?
Okay. Which would be like tougher or mm-hmm. starchier?
Yeah.
Okay. And so
if you've ever bought hominy, either yes. canned or dried, you know the kernels are bigger and harder than sweet corn kernels.
Okay. And then it makes the husk.
The hull.
The hull. Easier.
The husk is the part around the ear of corn.
Oh,
and
right.
The hull is the part around each kernel.
Right. Okay. So anyway, then it makes it easier to remove that.
Yep. So that's okay.
It
that's
makes
number one.
The niacin available.
Yeah, and if you don't have enough niacin in your diet, you get pellagra. And there, which is very bad.
What is it? Like, what does it do to you?
I don't remember, but all of these deficiency diseases are horrible.
They are.
And there are a number of examples in history of societies trying to subsist on non-nixtamalized corn and getting very, very sick. Like in Italy, this happened, for
example.
Yeah.
Interesting. Did they start nixtamalizing their corn?
No, their diet became more varied.
Okay.
For some reason, like this is like a Mesoamerican tradition that is not found in a lot of other places. Probably because we, you know, the Americas have, that's where corn comes from.
Yeah.
And so there aren't other places that have like a millennia old tradition with corn. Wow, this got really serious.
Well, and in these kind of like desert regions, you couldn't have grown wheat or something like that, or not without like irrigation.
Right. Okay, there's more. But wait, there's more.
Oh, there's more? Okay,
yeah, there's like
it three
more.
Niacin.
There's three more things
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It destroys mycotoxins. Mycotoxins are some bad shit.
Is it like bad fungus or something?
It's bad fungus. Yeah, it's like like aflatoxins and stuff. So like if your corn or your peanuts or whatever, and it's real bad. Highly carcinogenic and nixtamalizing pretty much totally wipes out that problem.
Okay.
It makes the corn tastier. So
how does it
if
do
you
that? Like how?
Well, I mean, through a variety of chemical reactions. I mean, all these things.
This is fascinating.
Yeah. So if you taste like a tortilla chip versus like a Frito, a tortilla chip is made with nixtamalized corn and a Frito is not, for example.
But I think Fritos are delicious.
Oh, they are delicious, but it's different.
Different flavor.
Right.
Okay.
Finally, the most important thing.
Okay.
You were going to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Carry on.
The most important thing for tortilla purposes, not for like overall diet purposes, is non-nixtamalized corn is not cohesive. So you can't make if you make a tortilla from it, it'll just be like a gritty, falling apart mess.
Okay.
Nixtamalized corn, I don't remember what it is. Maybe I even wrote it down. No, but like it breaks down the cell walls in a way that like the sticky cell wall stuff gets broken out and can bind the corn in a glutinous way. It's not gluten, but it's a similarly sticky protein thing.
Wow, that's so cool.
So
wait, in like modern tortilla making mm-hmm. or nixtamalized,
like industrial?
Yes. Well, where does one get lye? What is lye?
Lye is sodium hydroxide. So lime is calcium hydroxide. Lye is sodium hydroxide. I think lime can refer to other things also, but it's usually calcium hydroxide. These are just...
And it burns, right? Like if you get it on your skin?
Lye does. Calcium hydroxide is weakly alkaline.
Okay.
Welcome to
Wait, I'm just
Chemistry 101.
I'm just trying to remember. Is lye what is used in Fight Club to burn the back of somebody's hand.
Yeah, it's used for soap making. So why is it used in soap making? I used to know this. You know, you combine lye with organic fatty acids and then some shit happens.
Wow. Okay. So where does a person buy lye?
Well, this is not something you want to do at home.
Well, I know that, but I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, you buy it from an industrial chemical supply house.
Okay.
Apparently, also in industrial tortilla making, sometimes they use enzymes for nixtamalization rather than lye.
Mm.
Could this be our most boring episode?
No, this is fascinating.
I feel like... you know, as you know, as I was saying on the show, I used to sometimes lecture in Biology 100, it felt a lot like this, and I was never sure whether anyone cared about anything I was saying.
Oh, I love this. Okay. This is great. This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Molly, can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
What brand of bra are you wearing right now?
I'm so glad you asked, Matthew, because I
Are you really glad?
It's fine with me. I'm used to it by now. No, you know I love to talk about my Third Love bras. Today I am wearing, it's the wireless bra from the Lounge Collection. It fits like a sports bra, but it does have a clasp in the back, so it's easier to put on and take off.
Nice.
It feels supportive. It feels comfortable. And yet it also, like it kind of feels like there's nothing there, even though it's supportive.
Wow. Yeah, I love the Lounge Collection. When I was browsing through the Third Love Lounge Collection, I was like, I want to just buy all of these and give them to my wife.
And I'm happy to say that for someone who is on the small-breasted side, this Lounge Collection, it kind of fits the sports bra niche that I've been needing for a while. I just wore it to an exercise class this morning, and it still made me have shape while also supporting me. I loved it. This is amazing.
All right, so you can get your own by going to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase.
Yep, and you get to try it. Remember, returns and exchanges are free.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. So anyway, nixtamalization is a prerequisite for making tortillas, and I did make some tortillas this morning. You there in the back.
Does nixtamalization, does it refer only to corn, or is it something that you can do to other things too?
So according to Wikipedia, the word is sometimes applied to using alkaline solutions to dehull other grains like sorghum, but fundamentally it's corn.
Okay.
So yeah, so I made some tortillas this morning. They're not very good, but I'm still proud of myself for getting up early and making some tortillas before 10:30.
I'm super proud of you.
It's not even 10:30.
Uh-uh.
Before 9:30.
So did you make them from fresh masa or dried masa? Also called masa harina, right?
Dried masa is masa harina, and that's what I made them with. Because you can get it at the supermarket, although I noticed after I brought the bag home from the supermarket that it was like 3 months past date, but I figured it would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh masa, you need to get at like a Mexican grocery.
Yeah, when we were using fresh masa at Essex, I used to drive down to White Center and pick it up down there at, I can't remember, maybe like La Mexicana or something like that.
Yeah. I wish there was a process like nixtamalization that you could use on yourself to make yourself like less of a toxic person and like sweeter and more delicious.
Yeah.
And stickier.
Well,
I guess this process does exist.
Well, and also like, you know, I told you the other day that I suffered a fort-related injury, right?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I was playing with my child. She's really into forts. I was playing with her in a fort. And yeah, just over a while of sitting in the fort, and I guess just sort of like being hunched over, I strained my neck.
Sure.
And I'm still suffering my fort-related neck injury. But anyway, I'm kind of feeling like if I could just soak myself in some sort of solution, I could finally like get these muscles to relax somehow. Do you think Epsom salt is similar to...
I'm going to say yes.
Great.
Epsom salts, there's the ones that are sold in like a carton, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have no idea what that is, actually.
Oh, I always keep them around. It's like magnesium and sodium and stuff. I don't know if it does anything, but
sure.
I have to say, I enjoy a good Epsom salt bath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you went in, did you like go into the doctor and have to check off like on a sheet like fort related injury? Like, I feel like if you have a kid, it exposes you to a whole new array of injuries and ailments.
Oh my gosh, absolutely, absolutely.
And I'm sure I'm the first person ever to observe this.
Yes, I mean it begins with chapped nipples, mm-hmm. and it just carries on from there.
Yep.
Yep.
Sooner or later, everything gets checked.
Yeah, your nose gets bitten mm-hmm. at some point. I remember your nose got bitten.
Yep, it was very painful. I used to, when my daughter was like zero and had no teeth, I thought it was so funny when she would bite my nose, and she thought it was funny too, and then she got teeth, and it was no longer funny.
Yeah. What are other parenthood injuries?
Well, I think a lot of it is,
I mean,
like,
certainly my spirit is wounded.
Oh, yeah, definitely. A lot of it, I think, comes down to, like, I thought my body was still capable of like, doing, you know, playing this thing along with my kid, but it turns out it's not. Like sitting in a fort, yeah. which a kid can do all day.
Right.
You know, various kinds of, like, chasing. I've never been called upon to get on a skateboard, like, and I'm not sure if you would actually skateboard with your kid, but I know it would be a disaster if I did.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Like, I don't.
People just don't talk about this enough.
I don't do any sporting things with my kid, but if I did, I'm sure I would hurt myself.
I'm trying to think. I feel like, so we got a, like a Nerf baseball bat
uh-huh.
and a Nerf ball that goes along with it. And I discovered that once again, I had forgotten this for like 2 decades, but my hand-eye coordination is real bad. I'm pretty sure that I could injure someone else, and that would be
hitting them with a Nerf bat.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's kind of a funny injury, though. Like, funny for you, maybe not.
Yeah,
funny for the
unlike
other
my fort-related injury, which is not funny. Okay, so tell us about how you made these tortillas, Matthew.
Okay, I mixed some masa harina with warm water and kneaded it until it came together into a ball. I cut the ball up into smaller balls, and I rolled them between pieces of wax paper using the French rolling pin, mm-hmm. just like a Mexican grandmother.
And then did you cook them in, did I see cast iron skillets over
cast
here?
Cast iron skillets, yeah.
Okay.
So, and as usual, they came out a little too thick and a little dry and mm-hmm. Weirdly misshapen, but still kind of good.
What is the name of, I've been to a restaurant in Oaxaca City that used, that was well known for its corn tortillas.
A comal, is that where we're going?
Yes, yes, a comal. Yeah, it was so cool
surface
to watch
for cooking
to
tortillas
watch
on.
These women stand around the comal and make tortillas.
Now, you said at Essex, when you did Taco Tuesdays, your tortilla maker used a tortilla press.
Yes.
Which I've occasionally used, and they're so cool, and I don't own one. But maybe if I did, I would make tortillas.
Probably not.
No,
yeah,
it would be one
not.
Of those things. Yeah. You know what I just ordered? I was in that, you know, super duper first world problem situation of like, I need to put something else into my Amazon basket to get the free shipping.
Oh, God, Matthew.
Uh-huh. I'm copping to it.
You're not a Prime member?
No.
No. Okay.
I think it's a scam, man. So what I threw in was a Japanese pickle press. Let's have like an office pool. How many times do you think I'm going to use the Japanese pickle press in
negative
my life?
One. Negative one.
I think one.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going one. Okay. How do you use something negative one times? I want to hear this.
Well, I was thinking maybe like you buy it and then take it to Goodwill before you even use it.
Okay, that would be zero.
Oh, okay. Whoops, okay. So anyway, let's talk about commercial corn
yes.
tortillas.
So I have noticed, I think of commercial torn tortillas. Which can be good in tortilla soup, which we'll get to. Commercial corn tortillas, I think of them as being kind of all alike, but they do seem to vary a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And like ones, if you go to a Mexican grocery, often they will be making tortillas in the store and packaging them up. And even those are kind of similar to commercial ones, mm-hmm. but a little fresher and better.
Yeah.
I've noticed like you can get them with or without preservatives. Generally, I buy the ones with preservatives because they're softer and aren't like flaking off in the bag as
yeah,
much.
Yeah.
But it kind of depends on what I'm going to use them for. If it's
I
like,
never thought about yeah. that. I wondered why some of them seemed drier than
yeah.
others. Oh, that makes sense. Okay. I believe there's a time and a place for preservatives.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is,
I believe the children are our future, and that's why we need to preserve them.
No, but seriously, we're all going to die at some point. So what I was going to say is...
I hope I get to use my pickle press first.
That's what I was just going to say. That, like,
which is a sex
you
move.
Know, I'm... So I'm okay with eating a few preservatives mm-hmm. in this lifetime if it makes the thing that I'm eating a little bit softer and more delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about, like, all the garbage I put into my mouth. Well, I enjoyed it at the moment.
Okay, so when you bring home commercial corn tortillas, how do you warm them up?
I want to talk about this because I want to know how you warm them up also.
Japanese pickle press as a sex move. I'm just trying to picture.
Yeah, okay, you try and picture that, and I'm going to talk about my issues with reheating tortillas. Okay. So the best way that I've found for if I'm going to use them for tacos or as like a side for like a soupy bean dish or something like that, nothing to me comes close to heating them on both sides in a hot skillet.
Mm.
And they take so long.
Yeah.
Like, even if I have two skillets going, like, you know, it takes like minutes, for 90 seconds, 2 minutes for each tortilla. And like, I'm going to eat three tortillas and everyone else in my family is going to eat three or four tortillas.
I know. I know. This is where, you know, this is where you need a big
robot.
Fancy stove with a griddle portion to it.
Yes. Yeah. And a robot.
And a robot.
Like a
flip Jetsons. The tortillas.
Yeah. Like a Jetsons.
Like a Jetsons.
Do you have a griddle?
I don't have a griddle. No, as you have seen, I have a 4-burner electric range from the 1950s, and only 3 of the burners work. We on this show use nothing but the best kitchen equipment.
Exactly.
We are sponsored by all the high-end kitchenware companies.
Viking, Wolf. 4-star, 5-star?
Not at all.
Those are all the ones I can... Aga. That's a thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Isn't that like a big English stove that's like
La
always
Cornu.
On? La Cornue.
Yes. Yeah. La Cornue. Hey, if you want to send us a stove,
but
preferably
check with us first. Don't just send it.
Yeah, preferably one with a griddle for reheating our commercial tortillas. We are all over it. We will find room
again,
in our
I
living
don't want
spaces.
A big stove to just show up unexpectedly at my rental apartment.
Okay. Anyway, so okay, Matthew, if you aren't in the mood to reheat them in a skillet, would you just not eat them?
No. So some other things I've tried are like wrapping them in foil and putting them in the oven,
mm-hmm.
which it's okay. They get soft,
they get
but they
soft.
Don't get they don't pick up any like
toastiness
from that. Exactly. I've tried broiling them, which if you get it just right, works okay, but it's hard to get it just right.
Yeah.
Like anything you broil.
I imagine you could quickly make very weird tortilla chips.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then, okay, so you've got your nice, warmed, toasty tortillas. What do you like to do with them?
A bunch of different things. And I don't, like, if I've just, like, heated them up in a skillet, probably I'm going to be having them as soft tacos or as a side dish or something. But I also use corn tortillas a bunch of other ways. I mean, wait, how do you heat them up?
I almost never make anything remotely like Mexican food at home.
Oh,
yeah. So
I
I'm
see.
Genuinely asking this out of curiosity.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I'm making enchiladas, like... The toastiness aspect is not needed and probably not wanted because it'll make them a little more brittle.
And so you just use them straight out of the bag?
No. I'll warm them in the oven.
Just to make them
soft. Just to make them soft so they don't flake when I roll them into enchiladas.
Okay.
I often make tostadas, like real, like,
ooh,
you know, kind of down and dirty Tex-Mex style.
Yeah.
Like just, although I guess Tex-Mex style would
that,
be fried.
Do you,
but
do you get them crispy?
Yeah, so I bake them off until they start to crisp up and then like put on some beans and or meat and cheese on them and then continue baking until they get crispy around the edges.
Matthew,
really good.
Gosh, wow.
So I recommend that. I fry them for making hard taco shells.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did that.
And then
that.
Do you like curl them around something?
I curl them around with using like two spatulas, like one to hold down the half of it and have one to curl the top half around.
This is immensely fussy.
You should definitely get a video of me doing this sometime.
This is so fussy. I did not
I'm
know
the
you
robot.
Made your own hard tacos.
So do you have anything like this in your house where you did something for your kid once and then you regret it because they expect you to do it every time? Because this is that thing for me. Like, I am generally, like, the homemade hard taco shells are really good. At the same time, like, I'm fine just buying old El Paso taco shells and heating them up in the oven. Mm-hmm. But every time I do that, my kid is like, why didn't you make homemade taco shells? They're so much better. I'm like, fine, I'll make homemade taco shells. It's another thing where you're like standing in front of a hot pan with tortillas for half an hour.
No, my kid, I can't think of anything that I did once and regret it because now she wants it all the time.
Play in a fort?
Played in a fort. Yeah, played in a fort. Oh, man. I got to tell you, I have this love-hate relationship with reading books to my child. Mm-hmm. I adore reading to her, and yet it makes me so sleepy.
Uh-huh.
So I wish, I wish I'd never started reading to my child, because now she wants it all the time.
That is the official position of Spilled Milk. Do not read to your children.
It'll make you so sleepy. It is like the cure for insomnia.
Yeah, just stuff them with preservatives and send them to bed.
Okay, but wait, what about, so you mentioned tortilla soup. I always thought that was with like fried tortillas, like strips.
So it's it can be, I think it's usually with like oven baked. I think it'd be fried or just like stale, or like I will slice up some corn tortillas and toss them with some oil and bake them in the oven until they're crispy.
Matthew, would you, for my next birthday, which is going to be my 40th birthday, so it's a big one.
Okay.
Would you please make me like a little binder of all the recipes that you make that I love that I don't know how to make myself?
Wow.
And like simple things like your method for tostadas, even like your favorite brand of like canned refried beans. Like, would you tell me how you do your enchiladas, your tortilla soup, your chili? Oh my God, this chili you made for us to eat with these corn tortillas. So delicious.
Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, yes.
Okay.
Secondly, could you write down the things you just said? Because the part that'll be hard will be like, I'll sit down like, oh yeah, I'm gonna make Molly a binder of all the things that she said she wanted to cook, and it'll be like, I can't think of anything. Like Arnold Palmer's, and I feel like this is a gift you would get from like your 60-year-old aunt.
That is,
and that makes me so happy. I would love to.
My relationship to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Pupusas, you wrote down here. I don't even know what pupusas are.
Oh.
How did I come to host this show?
Pupusas are so good. There used to be a pupuseria on Broadway near my house, and it closed. It's a Salvadoran dish that's like a thick stuffed corn tortilla that's griddled on both sides and always served with this really tart, kind of spicy cabbage salad, slaw, pickle alongside it. Highly recommended. I've never tried to make them.
Yeah.
I imagine it's something that takes a lot of practice,
okay,
but they're delicious. You can get a meat filling, a bean filling. Molly's writing down her list of recipe requests here, hence the dead air.
Oh, okay, maybe we should just be done now.
The other thing I was going to say is if you look at our website, spilledmilkpodcast.com, probably most of these recipes are already on there.
No, but I need you to compile them.
Into a binder with like a ribbon.
With like your picture on the front.
Yeah, and like some pictures like, you know, kind of at a jaunty angle,
yeah,
pasted inside.
Exactly.
The Polaroids.
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
When it comes to bra shopping, it's all about finding the right fit for you. And by you, I mean Matthew.
And that's not going to happen, but if you are a listener with breasts, you will find, I know, you will find that there's only one lingerie brand that offers every size you could possibly need, double A through G, including half cup sizes, and that is Third Love.
Yeah, find your perfect fitting bra today by going to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk, and you'll get 15% off your first purchase.
That is thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
Well, everyone, now we all know what I'm getting for my birthday this year.
Great.
And I am pumped.
And also, you can remind me when your birthday is.
Okay.
I think that episode, I was pretty nervous about this episode because, like, whenever we do something that's, like, you know, a really important staple food for a culture or a number of cultures that we are not members of, I feel like, wow, we're going to fuck this up real bad.
Well, I mean, we may have. We may just be, like, in blissful ignorance right now, thinking that we did a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, I don't know if I pronounced nixtamalization correctly. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, a website that is Molly's dream recipe book. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. Mm-hmm. You can tell us what we forgot to say about corn tortillas, which is a lot.
Yes, for sure. And let's see. You can find us on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast.
Yep. On all the major podcasting platforms where we would love it if you would leave us a review.
Yes, please do. And gosh, if you have any tips for, like, how to get our hands on a robot to, you know, deal with warming up our tortillas while we're warming up other things. If you know, doing the old Japanese pickle press. please let us know.
Yeah. So what you're saying is we need a solution so that the tortillas can be crisping up while we're having sex.
Well, not with each other.
Not with each other. No. I didn't mean it to come out that way. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so until next time, I am TortillaBot 2000.
And I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Lettuce sound check.
Lettuce.
Let's get a lettuce sound check in here.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.